Good morning, Vox. What a blessing to gather with you all today. As we all navigate this new, perhaps temporary reality, I hope our Sunday mornings together continue to be a space of reflection and restoration. As I reflect on my quarantine time thus far, I was trying to recall the practices that has given me pause and reprieve in between Zoom calls and redesigning my digital footprint, getting creative with dinners, and the hamster wheel that is my mind right now. What I concluded is that those times have come during my workouts and a new daily routine to take evening strolls in my neighborhood. Maybe a few weeks into quarantine, I'd gotten antsy this one particular Tuesday evening. It was a beautiful day. We were enjoying spring weather that was so foreign to us Texans, you know, that rare 70-ish. With nowhere to go and no one to see, I decided I would go for a walk. Perhaps not revolutionary to some of you, but the only speeds I had come to know my neighborhood concrete had come in the form of jogging or in four-wheel drive. It was about 6 p.m. in the evening, which seemed to be about the time that everyone in my central East Austin neighborhood ventures out their home. Most of them to walk their dog, stretch their legs, or attempt to release built-up energy from their children before nightly routines. New to the pace and the practice, I took a short call with a friend and remarked how entertaining it was to see people awkwardly navigate sidewalks while trying to remain 6 feet apart. After I hung up with my friend, I was left alone with my thoughts and was soon rather refreshed by the process of discovering new streets and sights. As an avid runner, I typically run up Manor, past Thunderbird Coffee in the south towards MLK, a routine 3 mile run that keeps me to the main streets. But walking has never been a common practice for me. I've always been too busy. It never fit into the schedule. If I needed a Tuesday treat yourself moment, I was driving to the coffee shop. And if I needed to clear my head, I was driving downtown Lake for a regimented 3 mile run. But this particular evening, instead of turning left up Manor like I typically do, I walked across to a small side street and winded my way up 38th and a half into the backside of Windsor Park. I saw homes I'd never seen. I observed foliage and trees, a luxury that driving had never afforded me, and remarked how even more gentrified my neighborhood had become in the 2.5 years I'd been there. And I heard the chatter of neighbors I had always been too busy to hear. What I've discovered in this moment of chaos and at times confusion is a new way to listen, a new way to reset. Getting out of my house for an evening walk, I've seen things I've never taken time to notice when trying to meet my timed mile goal. I've stopped to speak to neighbors who ordinarily just get a wave and a holiday gift. I've stopped and I've heard sounds that would have otherwise remained foreign and unappreciated. With a mask literally covering up our smiles and mouths, we've even had to restructure our ability to listen and communicate. Not distracted by blaring Rihanna music while running, or without the responsibility of operating a motor vehicle, my senses were now forced to be more awake, more in tune. But most profoundly, these evening walks have transformed my disposition and renewed my appreciation and structure on how I listen. When you were children, did you ever hear a teacher or parent figure use this term, use your listening skills, or you aren't listening? That always perplexed me. I was like, I mean, I have 2 ears and I passed the hearing exam last week, so what else am I supposed to do? But the truth is, listening is a skill. It requires a posture. I grew up always questioning this idea of hearing from God or pondering how we knew for certain that God could hear us. Was it something audible? Should I see a burning bush? Was God actually talking to me when I saw a rainbow? I realized on my daily walks that God is constantly revealing and reaffirming, that God hears us in the small moments. We just have to be open to listening. And it is certainly difficult when our routine, our grounding is disrupted or shaken. For instance, a global pandemic, a layoff, or a loss. So Vox, this morning, let us know, how do you know when someone is listening to you? How do you know when you have been heard? I invite you to share your thoughts using the chat box in the YouTube Live. And remember, you have to be signed in to use it. Thank you guys so much for sharing some incredible observations and reminders. I'm particularly curious to see how this works in dynamics of people who've been quarantined for a while together. Well, I did a little exercise myself this week, and I looked up the definition of listening and hearing. This is what I found. Listen means to pay attention to sound, to hear something with thoughtful attention, give consideration, to be alert, to catch an expected sound. And I love this one translation, make an effort to hear something, be alert and ready to hear. And hear means this, to be aware of, know of the existence of, to gain knowledge, to listen with attention. I truly believe in this season, despite disruption to our plans and understanding of order, or our inability to know what's next, that God knows of our existence and listens with attention. And today I hope to remind us of that, remind you that God hears us. I'm going to invite us into a recalibration of our own listening practices, listening to ourselves, listening to our bodies, listening for what God has to say to us all in this moment, reminding ourselves that even in this moment, God hears our hearts and hears our needs. As I read through our text for today in Psalm, I was struck by verses 1 that reads, I love the Lord because he heard the voice of my supplication. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you save my life. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things he has done for me? I mean, that's good all by itself. He hears our voice. Perhaps there's a reminder here about our calling to recognize, seek out, and listen for blessings, even in the midst of chaos, with knowledge that God always hears us. Even with all the noise of CNN and Twitter, or for some of us, the new challenge of quietness and deafening silence at home, we trust that God hears us and that he's opening us up to listen for, to see blessings. The psalm continues in verse 9 through 12. I'm striding in the presence of God, alive in the land of the living. I stayed faithful, though bedeviled, and despite a ton of bad luck, despite giving up on the human race, saying they are all liars and cheats, what can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured out on me? To help us reflect on this scripture, I am so grateful this morning to invite a dear friend and some familiar faces to Vox, Candace and her eldest child, Penn, to share a few words with us on the opportunity we all have to hear God in our moments of pain and listen for practices of gratitude, even in times of chaos.
Thank you, Virginia. Good morning, Vox. I'm Candace, and this is my son, Penn. Say hello, Penn. Pen. The relationships and teaching that I experienced at Vox changed my life. So I'm really humbled to be speaking this morning, and I'm really honored that it's here. The pieces that stuck out to me about the text were the land of the living, because I've related to it when all my relationships are harmonious and feeling aligned. But right now I'm kind of like, is that accessible? Is that for me? Am I supposed to believe that? Is it a promise? And then the piece about giving back to God, how much he's given. I don't really have any answers on that. But for me, I think it can start with just trying to be present to him and then saying thank you. So I'll talk a little bit about that. So 3 years ago, this beautiful boy came into our lives. We are so grateful that God gave us Penn. But pretty quickly, you see yourself? But pretty quickly after settling in, from the hospital, I had a lot of pain. Like I couldn't walk for about 2 weeks. Even when I could sit up after 3 weeks, walking to the end of the block would leave me in bed the rest of the day. And I share that and want to ask if any of the kiddos that are listening from Greenhouse, if you've had a time where you've been in pain, maybe your stomach hurt, you stubbed your toe, maybe your heart has been in pain out of anger or frustration. Wanted to see if Penn would tell us a story too. I'm going to take a pass for Alvin.
No, I wanted to take it out.
Would you like to take it out? You take it out. Will you tell us a time, Penn, when you've been in pain or frustrated?
No.
Are you feeling frustrated now?
No, I'm feeling shy.
Oh, you're feeling shy. Okay. I'm going to keep talking and then we're going to have Penn teach us a little bit about the breathing exercises that we practice at home. So that's a little bit about my immediate postpartum experience. Well, at 3 months old, Pin would need surgery to close the lining of his abdomen. That very first picture was a 3-month-old baby Pin. When he was 4 months old, I found a lump in my breast. At 5 months old, my little brother passed away. By month 8, Pin was showing signs of food allergies, pretty severe eczema. And do you want to tell them about your food allergies? Not feeling like it? Okay. Pin has a lot of things that makes him very special. So by the time he was a year old, he couldn't be in school anymore. So that's my first year postpartum. So that's the second picture of Pin at the beach. That's him at a year old. So at this point, I'm staying home with him full time and working on his health stuff. And, you know, this is in Miami Beach where everybody takes their toddler, South Beach. It was a really sweet trip. Anyway, a little later that year, we had a miscarriage, then found out about Margot. And that was like my second year postpartum. Was this just not what I expected? So then Pin turned 2. That's this next picture. We had Margot. And while carrying her, my abdomen tore, which is really common, but it also really hurt. So doing things like bath time and loading the dishwasher, I could feel that tear in the middle of my body. I had 2 kids at home, this baby, toddler with special needs, my own chronic pain. And I...
My sister Jack-Jack.
And Pin calls her Jack-Jack from The Incredibles. And that's Margot. You and baby Margot? So I joke kind of that quarantine isn't that much different. We really can't eat out. We can't go places with dogs or cats. It's pretty isolating in general. So fast forward, here we are in quarantine. Still with a ton of pain. And I had been prescribed physical therapy, but I think the emotional weight of the things that I shared blocked me from doing it. But with the help of 2 friends, one of which is in my Vox Midweek group, I started doing the therapy. And the therapy itself, it's just breathing. It's breathing in really small muscle movements, 10 minutes a day. It's knitting my body back together. And I've been practicing it for 4 or 5 weeks now, and I've been pain-free most days. I can feel myself getting stronger. And so how does this go back to finding blessing in the pain? First, breathing. It may feel like nothing. Sometimes Pen sees me doing this physical therapy and asks, what are you doing? Because it doesn't look like I'm doing anything. But the deep belly breaths really are healing me. And I want to have Pen share how he breathes when he's angry or frustrated. Pen, will you take your pacifier out and show one of the songs that we've learned?
I tried it. Nice.
Hey, bud, will you share one of the songs that we've learned from Daniel Tiger about breathing to share with friends that are watching? Looks like we're having someone's acting their age. So I'm going to share, and maybe Pen will join along. And one is, when you feel so mad that you want to roar, take a deep breath and count to 4. It's been these deep, almost unnoticeable movements that are healing me. And I think that if we can practice presence with our breath, even in times
not
of
right.
pain,
not right.
where that looked different
not right.
From what we expected, we can recognize ourselves walking in the land of the living. So my encouragement, Vox, is that even through quarantine, you would breathe deeply, recognize the land of the living around you, and when you're able to offer thanks. And believe that even if this practice is 10 minutes a day and barely recognizable, that it's healing you. Thanks again for having me.
Thank you, Candace, for sharing with us. And thank you, Pen, for letting us hear your story and for teaching us such a beautiful practice. Such a fun song. What a reminder that God remains faithful and hears our pain. And we've been invited to create moments of gratitude, thankfulness, and listen for the blessing, even in the midst of pain, trauma, and chaos. As we move through our psalm, we are given another opportunity to reimagine how we listen for God's prompting. Verses 13 through 15 read, I lift high the cup of salvation, a toast to God. I'll pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I promised God I'd do, and I'll do it together with his people. When they arrive at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him. Here's another practice of listening that I'd invite you into today. Listening for purpose. How do we navigate purpose in the unknown? How do we navigate what's next when we don't know what is next? I've had a visceral exploration of this in quarantine. A few weeks prior to UT announcing we would be closing campus and perhaps working from home for the rest of the year, I had made the decision to leave my position as Director of Community Engagement and move on to what I feel like God is calling me to in this moment. Who quits their job in the midst of a pandemic? What is next? And what do I do in the meantime as I transition in the midst of quarantine? How do I adjust to this new reality while serving our most vulnerable? How can you be the Director of Community Engagement at home by yourself? What changes when I leave UT this summer? How should I use this quiet time? Should I be doing more writing? Should I refocus our efforts to respond directly to the pandemic? What is my purpose in this moment? What is my purpose after this moment? These are the questions that have invaded my thoughts the past few months. Perhaps you are experiencing similar confusion, contradiction, and chaos around purpose in this moment. Now, although I strongly believe us millennials don't have a place in this TikTok world, I've stumbled across a few gems on my Instagram feed or via my millennial poser sister. I call her a poser because she's really a Gen Zer, but through a December birthday technicality is masquerading as a millennial. Anyway, the TikTok video brought to life my current emotions and the overwhelming noise around what we should be doing with our time in this moment. Some of you might relate. I invite you to take a listen to this clip and see if it sounds familiar.
Use this time to create and get abs and write a novel and be amazing and make a podcast and learn a language and be... Shut up!
We've also posted the link in the chat in case you want to replay it in your free time. I highly related to the franticness of this clip, and for 20 seconds was mildly entertained. These are the barrage of thoughts that clutter my mind and perhaps cloud my inability to listen for God's voice. What is my purpose in this moment? How should I be listening for his voice to cut through all the noise to equip me to purpose? How do I prepare for what is next? I think we get a bit of direction and a final reminder of how to attune our listening in the last few verses of our text today. Verses 16 through 17 read, "O God, here I am, your servant, your faithful servant. Set me free for your service. I'm ready to offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and pray in the name of God." To help us consider what that practice looks like, I've invited a woman who has taught me how to sharpen my listening skills for the last 32 years and is a constant example of God's faithfulness in hearing us and leading us, even in the midst of the unknown. Some of you have had the joy of hearing from her before at Vox. Thank you and good morning to Jennifer Cumberbatch, aka Mom.
Hello, Vox. Thank you so much for your warm invite to be mutually encouraged by one another. And Gideon, thank you for helping me hone this homily. Yeah, sounds like a masterclass. Maybe that's one. Okay. Listening for preparation and equipping in and for the unknown. The final lyrics to this singer-songwriter's song inspired this salient thought for me. The intimate presence of God through Jesus, who called us friend, who is the lover of our mind, will, and emotions, our soul. This intimate presence is enough. It exudes God's delight in us, God's benefit, God's bounty and favor. God's strength engulfs our weakness. God is present with us, holding our hand, massaging our broken heart, just listening. And this intimacy, where the deep life force of God we call Spirit searches our heart and knows us and our human predicament in a broken, sick, and dying world, is enough. It is the remedy the antidote, the painkiller, the solution, the strategy, the answer to 1,000 questions without words. Perhaps it changes nothing, but it changes everything. David's response to God sitting with him is a relational response that crosses generations. He says, "My mama was your handmaiden, and now I'm your servant. I will sing a song of thanksgiving to you, and I will do what I've promised to do, and I'll be my authentic self with you. My doing will emanate from my being because I'm so fiercely loved." These lyrics are a response to God for sitting with him in his suffering, for hearing his guttural, wounded animal sound, his musical voice, for hearing him, listening with attentive interest and passion and compassion. God heard David in his inarticulate cry. God perceived and understood his condition just by a moan and groan. I can really identify with this. I remember having 4 children, my youngest son coming to us 2 months after I'd had our youngest child, feeling like I was running on a treadmill with music lessons and soccer and dance and ministering to a child with special needs who was hyper and all over the place, and feeling as if I had to keep a house that was Pinterest ready, and being in the midst of people who had a maid and a nanny and a jet, and me fixing meals and cleaning the house, rinse and repeat, performance, doing, acting on stage, Jennifer Cumberbatch, mother, teacher, pastor, counselor, wife, trying to be alluring to my husband. And I remember vividly lying on my couch and just giving a guttural cry out to the Lord. "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." And God heard me and understood just by that moan and that groan. And God was present with me and spoke to me deep in my spirit person, "Just be. Just be. Just be with me." God invited me into God's presence. And out of me came this response that said, "God, I am your servant because you were first my friend. I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he heard my cry and pitied every moan. Long as I live and troubles rise, I'll hasten to, I'll hasten to, I'll hasten to God's throne." Oh, I can identify with David when the presence of the Lord is enough, when it answers every question, when the presence of the Lord perhaps changes nothing, but changes everything.
Wow. Thank you, Mom, for sharing your story, for giving us vision for what it looks like to trust God in this moment and how to listen for purpose. As we close this morning, let us remember that we are invited to listen differently this week, perhaps ushering us into a posture of gratitude, purpose, and preparation for whatever is next. Let us remember that our God hears us. He is faithful, and we just have to listen for his presence, as my mother reminded us, to just be. I thought we'd end our time together this morning listening to a song to prompt our new practice, a song that has served as a beautiful reminder that God hears us and the power of listening for God's response. I invite you to relax, close your eyes, let the words and the melody of this song wash over you as a reminder of our ever-present God and the opportunity we have in communicating with him every day. Enjoy I Am Listening by Chris McClarney. And if you're a visual learner, we have posted a link in the chat to a site with the lyrics. Thank you, Vox. Amen.